knowledge fight.
And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you.
What's up?
What's your bright spot today, buddy?
I've got two because they're kind of small.
All right.
So we'll just use them. They'll add up to one.
Okay.
I was walking down the street the other day, and I found a 50-cent piece on the ground.
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. And it was like, I haven't seen one of these things in a long time.
That's crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was on the ground.
It was on the ground. Strange coin. Anyway, I was like, this is exciting. It took me back to being a kid.
Yeah.
Finding a JFK half dollar on the ground.
That's really exciting.
It's not exciting to find a dime or a quarter or a penny.
Absolutely not.
50-cent piece, though. Pretty crazy.
And it's not about the money. The 50-cent piece is unusual.
It's just weird.
It's weird.
You don't see it often.
For what purpose do you have a 50-cent piece?
I don't know. Someone would have to ask for it.
Of course.
And so this came from somewhere.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it would brighten my day up a little bit, so it's a bright spot.
That's great.
Second, I saw an Arby's commercial.
Okay.
And I do love their slogan, "We have the meats."
It's a great slogan.
Because it sounds hostile.
There's no way to hear it from Ving Rhames' voice without being like, Jesus Christ, guys, I get it. You have the meats.
Yeah. I feel like I did a bunch of voiceover auditions back in the day. Mm-hmm. Did not land any of those gigs. Mm-hmm. But I did record a bunch of stuff. And I know that when you're doing voiceover, the ad agencies and the people will tell you how to read something.
Yeah.
And the way that it's delivered is like, it's not being like, hey, we got all these meats. It's, we have the meats and you don't.
You better fucking believe we've got
the meats. We've got control of the meats.
How dare you step to us about the meats?
And I think there's something really fun about that. Anyway, I hate advertising and I think it's a corrupt industry, but I do think that's a really funny slogan. Delivered that way.
And also, but here's the funniest part about it to me, is that somebody came up with the slogan right before the voiceover. So what was that like before the like vaguely threatening, we have the, you know, what was it like, just some dude in a room, Don Draper style?
I think here's where the kernel of the idea comes from.
Okay.
Arby's is a roast beef place.
That is true.
And so they have that meat.
They have the
meat. But then they tried to branch out into other things like chicken and, you know, fish sandwiches and stuff.
Give it a shot.
Right? And so I think they needed to assert their broad meat status.
Okay. So you think that there's a certain amount of like, y'all think we're just roast beef.
No. We got the meats.
No. We have meatza.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think that probably is where it began. And then they're like, what if we could make it hostile?
Who do we get to deliver this?
Yeah.
James Earl Jones is dead, so.
Samuel L. Jackson's not returning our calls. He could have been pretty hostile about the meats.
He would have been really hostile.
Oh, he's already doing all the what's in your wallet.
Right. We can't afford that.
Anyway, what's your bright spot?
My bright spot, Bon Iver has a new album out.
Okay.
And I enjoy it. I like it a lot. But here's what I like the most about it. And I realized this whenever I got it, and I was playing it and listening to it, I was like, I remember when listening to Bon Iver or that kind of, there was a certain type of person. There was like a hipster. There was like a
Bon Iver type.
There was a Bon Iver type, right? And now it's just old people, man. Do you know what I'm saying? That's where we're at.
Mm-hmm.
You don't need to feel worried about, oh, I'm a blank or I'm a metal guy or I'm the, now you're old.
Yep.
Now you're old.
And he's old.
This is great. I love it. I cannot believe that people got mad in the, like, oh, kids these days. Listen, I have seen what the kids do.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely incomprehensible.
To you.
Skibbity toilet.
Right.
You know?
I don't know.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just old. I'm happy with it.
There's no more pretense around your music. There's just this college rock guy from when I would have been college aged.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Remember, you were the guy who listened to Led Zeppelin when in the 90s. You're fine. Mm-hmm. You're fine. You're just old. It's fine.
Yep. And one day, Post Malone will be that.
Absolutely. Exactly. The cycle of, you know, it's like
the guy who I only know from an Oreo.
I have no doubt that there was somebody who's like, oh my God, you're still listening to Strauss? Jesus Christ, man. Mm. You know? Like, we're just old. We all get old.
Good winter. That's what it means. That's what Bon Iver means. Right? Isn't it?
I genuinely have no idea. Is that what it means?
Yeah, in French.
I see, half the time, I'm just like, oh, they just found a collection of noises.
Oh, no, this is French.
Like Tame Impala. Mm-hmm. They're not talking about
it. I don't know
it.
If that translates to anything.
It doesn't. I think it's literally a Tame Impala.
Mm-hmm. The car?
No, the animal.
Oh.
That the car is named after. Oh.
I thought we gained control over machine.
Did you think we didn't have control over machines at one point?
I have questions.
Fair enough. I think that's good to have these days.
I'm glad you're enjoying that album, Jordan.
Yeah, it's great.
So today we have an episode to go over. We're going to be talking about February 4th, 2025.
All right.
This episode bums me out.
Okay.
It's I don't know. It bums me out.
It's just a bummer.
Yeah, he's a bummer.
He's okay.
But we'll get down to business on that in a second. But let's say hello to some new wonks.
Ooh, that's a great idea.
So first, Lineker Sues Sky. Awooga. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, happy birthday, Thomas. Rose Byrne is in this movie, and I'm going to shit my pants. Love Spillium. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And Idahoans fighting fascists. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And we got a technocrat in the mix, Jordan. So thank you so much to Harley Christmas will fight the Global Council of Neighborhood Cats, but only after her nap. Thank you so much. You are now a technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk. I have risen above my enemies. I might quit tomorrow, actually. I'm just going to take a little breaky now. A little breaky for me. And then we're going to come back, and I'm going to start the show over. But I'm the devil. I got to be taken off here. I'll do all this. Blah, 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 blah. Fuck you. Fuck you. I got plenty of words for you. But at the end of the day, fuck you and your new world order. And fuck the horse you rode in on and all your shit. Maybe today should be my last broadcast. I mean, maybe I'll just be gone a month, maybe 5 years. Maybe I'll walk out of here tomorrow and you never see me again. That's really what I want to do. I never want to come back here again. I apologize to the crew and the listeners yesterday that I was legitimately having breakdowns on air. I'll be better tomorrow.
Nah.
No.
Nah, you won't be. Mm. So I think that we've seen in the time after the inauguration that Alex is a little rudderless. There's a bit of inability to deal with reality because reality is moving fast. And reality, in a lot of ways, looks like a lot of stuff that he wants.
Right.
But also, a lot of it looks like really, really bad stuff.
Sure.
And were he to take the time to look into any of this stuff, report on any of these things in a meaningful way, I think he would be forced to confront, like, oh, shit, this isn't good.
Yeah. There's a little bit of, we're in a gin story, wherein we're getting ironic twists to all of our wishes, but in the stories, they go like, ah, this sucks. Mm-hmm. But in this, we're just like, actually, I think this is great. And the djinn is like, no, this is really bad. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really bad. And he's like, no, I think it's great.
There's a twist to me granting your wish. Are you not realizing that?
I'm not even thinking about it. You know what I am? I'm just grateful that my wish is granted.
Okay.
That is... Oh, that's not good.
Oh, you're going to run into a wall.
Well, but it's a nice wall, isn't it?
I guess it is. Mm-hmm. So I have, I've gone through this fairly slowly, and part of the reason for that is that I would like this feeling to be understood of his time after the inauguration. I would like that, because I think that's the most important thing. The way that this show does not work in context.
Right.
It becomes a farce of itself in many ways. And I think that point's been made. I think that, at a certain point, we'll have to pick up and get closer to present day. But I think that at the end of the last episode, when Alex is saying, like, I've got all this secret information, but we'll just fuck it up if we try and cover it, I feel like that's about as cathartic of a bleh as you're going to get.
Yeah.
And I think that maybe Alex felt a little bit of like, all right, I've fucked around. I didn't get down to business.
Okay, so you're priming us for this episode. Maybe Alex woke up that morning, like, Eye of the Tiger plan, and is like, let's do this.
Well, it certainly seems to be the mood he's in.
Okay.
I am super focused like a laser beam. And we have an incredible top researcher with the AI maps of U.S. aid and other slish funds. He'll be joining us in the third hour, then Roger Stone into the fourth with huge breaking exclusive intel. And then we've just got masses of incredible news that I must and I will cover today. You're not going to get the preaching because I'm going to control myself, and the pontificating because I am holding myself in a very short leash. You are going to get laser focus, bam, 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 bam.
I feel like this is not very focused.
460 plus radio stations now that carry this exploding populist pro-human transmission. That is a weapon system of truth.
So Alex, I think, is giving you the sense that he knows he's got to get down to business. He's got to get to it.
Yeah.
Enough fucking around, pontificating and preaching. So he goes to break, and then those alleged 400 radio stations, which is probably closer to 20,
right,
end up coming in.
Okay.
And so he comes back from break, and here's where he's at.
Trump has outperformed my wildest dreams. Elon Musk has surpassed my wildest desires. The execution, the energy, the fact that Trump and Elon and all of their team laugh in the face of the squeaking, squawking, pedophilic criminals. Every bit of the messaging and the truth and the informativeness and the competency is like being held underwater for 4 minutes by a savage 400-pound sumo wrestler. And finally, getting them off of you and sticking your head back above the surface and getting that precious air. I am beyond euphoric. I am just so thankful to God and so thankful and humbled by all of you, not just my fellow fabulous, amazing Americans, not just my compatriots here in this republic, that all the red-blooded humans that love liberty and freedom and whose North Star is the Spirit of God shining through us, filling our sails with the crisp, clean wind of change.
So much for the not pontificating and preaching thing. I
feel
think
like this is very unfocused.
Yeah, a little. This is a laser beam.
This is not very focused. No. I feel like we've gone all over the place very quickly in short order.
I think we're just rambling. Also, you would die if you were held underwater for 4 minutes. Alex, that's a long fucking time.
It is a long time.
Yeah.
It is a long time.
But he brought up a sumo wrestler, and that leads me to my next question.
Yes.
Which is, are you caught up on The Amazing Race?
I am caught up on The Amazing Race.
And some sumo wrestlers in there.
Oh my God. There were a couple of them that were so funny to see him just like gently walk back.
Yeah.
They were pushing as hard as they can, and that guy could have stood there for a million years and they never would have moved him an inch.
The fact that they had to push the sumo wrestler was a cute moment for the first people, and then diminishing returns.
Ooh, after. Got real sad at
because
some points.
The first person had a thought of like, we might actually have to push this guy.
Yes.
As opposed to it just being a cute moment.
Yeah.
I thought that was when they got to that roadblock where you could choose to put on a sumo thing or make mochi, I thought immediately this is a trick. The mochi one looks harder, but it's easier.
Yes.
And everyone chose the putting on the sumo thing.
Right.
Turned out to be hard.
It's very hard.
Anyway.
I would even go so far. I'll say this. I think, based upon what I know, that it is an incredibly insulting thing to describe a sumo as savage. Mm. One of the most important things about sumo is the deference and respect shown at all times.
Sure.
Savagery is simply not allowed.
No.
So you could never... So he's creating a fictional character. There's no such thing as a savage sumo.
What about E. Honda?
from Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I stand corrected.
Right.
Yep.
So Alex is just a little gloaty on this episode. Very laser-focused gloating.
Sure.
We have the enemy's main attack plan to crash the economy. And even if they do that, the globalists are going to get the blame because we have information warfare superiority and the public's not asleep anymore. And so I would advise the globalists to stop, but it looks like they're not.
So this is a teachable moment because there's a reason that Alex goes into that sing-song voice while talking about this subject. He's gloating like a schoolyard bully, and this is the tone that he's putting on in order to convey that vibe. What Alex is trying to get across is that no matter what happens, he and his side have a story that the media apparatus that they've built up will push. They're going to push that story, and Trump is never going to get the blame for anything. If Trump's economic moves end up creating huge problems for the U.S. consumer, it's already established that this was caused not by Trump's actions, but the evil globalists crashing the stock market because they're so mad that Trump is so good. Alex is doing this bully gloating because he's pretty comfortable with the toxic information space that he's helped usher in, and now Elon essentially presides over. The narrative is what's important because the narrative is what ushers human attention. If you distract people well enough, you can legitimately override their understanding of cause and effect relationships, and you can just describe whatever cause you want to explain the effects that are happening in the real world. This is what Alex is gloating about, that he feels like his side has defeated rationality. He says that we have information war superiority. It just means we can say whatever the fuck we want to explain things.
Yeah.
And we've gotten to a point where we're pretty comfortable we can just trick a bunch of people.
Yeah. I mean, I don't even know how you can say the words information war superiority and not recognize the disingenuousness that is required for that. You know, like, we lie best.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
We lie best and have created a world where there's no consequences for that.
We're really good at lying is what you said. And that's such a strange thing to say.
In that tone, no less.
Yeah. Yeah. That reminded me of Home Movies. That reminded me of Brendan being like, we want you to sing talk.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we want you to sing. Don't sing. Sing talk.
Mm.
Yeah, that's better.
Yeah. Grim.
Yeah.
Gross.
Mm.
Anyway, he's laser-focused.
Laser-focused.
So this is, we're about half an hour into the show at this point, and
we've gotten to one story?
Maybe.
Zero stories?
I think we've gotten at least two movie references.
Laser-focused.
And I go back to that Patton quote that I read on air yesterday that's hanging on the wall out there. In fact, I'm just going to go back to that. It's too important. Then I'll get into it on the dish. This is just too important. Guys, I just want to have it on a hot key in there. It's hanging on the wall out there. Rob hung it up on the wall out there in the hallway out of the studio into the control room. There it is. Attack rapidly, ruthlessly, viciously, without rest, however tired and hungry you may be. The enemy will be more tired, more hungry. Keep punching.
It's not how Patton said it.
I just love Trump and Elon's example because my crew already is dauntless and works really hard, but they've been trying to get me to work more.
It's the opposite of what you said yesterday.
That's a first. It's like in that line from Full Metal Jacket that's so accurate. I talked to Marines.
So accurate.
Especially back then that went through boot camp. They say they have flashbacks because they dump the script once they were just going to use that real gunny sergeant as an advisor. And he said, this is all wrong. So they basically rewrote the whole first half of the movie, you know, where they're at the Marine base before they go to Vietnam. And so he wrote it. I forget his name. He's super famous. Everybody knows who he is. And there's that line in there that the drill sergeants were getting really excited in the last few days of boot camp because the power of these young Marines was growing out of their control. Fit the exact line. But that's what I like seeing. Because my mission has always been to become obsolete. because everybody gets it.
Completed.
And then once everybody gets how tyranny operates, now this current permutation and combo operates, it's so much fun to defeat tyranny. It's such a pleasure, an extreme pleasure. I mean, sometimes, you know, I'm going to meet my wife and eat dinner or something and everything's, and I'll just say, I'm sorry, I have to stay at work. Even though I want to go eat a nice dinner and be with my wife, you know, that's a lot of fun. It's like, I'm sorry, this drive state, and I got a lot of drive state for eating food, you know what I mean, is not anything compared to the drive state of crushing the enemy. What is best in life? To have a falcon on your wrist and to have the wind of the steppes in your hair. Wrong. Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, to see them driven before you, and the lamentation of the women. Good. That's right.
And lamentation of the women?
But who are enemies? The worst scum the planet has ever seen.
So we're focused.
Very focused.
Rambling about Full Metal Jacket, weaving that seamlessly into a scene from Conan.
I have never imagined Patton starring Grindel before, but I think that would be great.
Keep it behind you.
Men, we're following Gollum into darkness.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I feel like this is all over the place.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A little bit.
There's not a whole lot of things to grab onto and be like, ah, here's what he's talking about.
Yeah.
I was just kind of screaming about the lamentations of the women of the globalists will be heard, and that's what's best in life is crushing your enemies before you.
I question the wisdom of taking what Conan the Barbarian says about what is best in life and applying it to the present day.
Well, some what is old is new again.
I'm not disagreeing with you there.
Back to the future, as Alex said on our last episode, which I think was an attempt at branding.
You know what? Maybe let's just get rid of time and just say that maybe our circumstances are not quite the same as Conan the Barbarian.
Do you not think that Conan the Barbarian was a Renaissance thinker?
I mean, it's not that. I'm just saying that swords are far less common as a day-to-day conflict-solving device.
Not soon.
Well, fair enough. I guess everything old is new again.
Yeah, pretty soon there'll be a lot more swords.
I've been thinking that not enough swords have solved conflicts in my life, so apparently I have gotten my ironic consequence for this wish.
Yep. So we had a lot of experience with Alex in his Sandy Hook trial.
Sure.
I consulted with the Texas case. We were at the trial. Mm-hmm. We covered his depositions and covered the Connecticut case. And so it's particularly funny to hear him relay his own remembrance of how he behaved.
Interesting.
No, it's not sitting on your horse with the wind blowing in your hair, feeling vain like some Hollywood scumbag. It's crushing your enemies. It's seeing them driven before you. And the lamentation of the women.
Lamentations. And to hear the lamentations of the women.
On the stand in the rig trial, they go, is the most important thing in your life to be accurate? And I said, no, it's crushing the globalists like you. But truth is the weapon that crushes the enemy. So it's not two different things. Comprende?
Laser focus.
Do you hear me?
Yeah, so that's not accurate. Mm. It's a fun way to sort of mythologize yourself. And I get why he does that, but that's absolutely inaccurate.
Well, if I had behaved, I will say this on his behalf, if not in his defense, perhaps to damn him still greater. If I had performed the way that he did, I too would be lying about it.
Yeah. You kind of have to.
You gotta.
I don't know how you can wake up in the morning and have God tell you what time it is if you really deal with how you behave.
Yeah. To clear eyes see the way that you did that would mm-hmm. require a lot of changing yeah. all across the board.
Probably.
Yeah.
So the globalists, they're in trouble.
Sure.
Because Trump and Elon are there.
Unbeatable.
Yep. And so, Alex, now this is one of the gifts that we have of this being a little bit in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Alex predicts that the globalists are going to be gone in 90 days, which
wow.
is almost when we're recording this.
That is very soon.
Yeah, it's only a couple days away.
Oh, boy.
At the current acceleration, rate, the globalists are completely smashed within 90 days. Now, if Trump could have just stabilized in 2 years and removed 80% of them, I thought that would be a total win. I thought that was about the best we'd get. No, it's a totally different animal. And when Trump said, I have been reborn, I've learned a lot. And I mean, he has been planning and preparing. And again, even if they kill him, which they're going to try for sure, even though it won't work. But if they're totally off balance and the whole bunch of indictments, which you know are incoming, happen with the goods, they won't even be able to do that. And I'm just staggered by what's happening. But, you know, that's the thing about life. People think evil's invincible. They think it's all powerful. Like there'll be some, you know, you're in seventh grade and there's some kid that's, you know, flunked three grades and he's got a mustache and he weighs 220 pounds and he's always beating people up and nobody will stand up to him. He beats you up a few times and you go home with black eyes. Your dad says, well, you just got to fight harder. Well, what do I do, Dad? He goes, well, he waits for you when you get off the bus and jumps on you and sits on you and spits on you and blacks your eyes. He goes, any rocks around? Anything going on? I said, next time that happens, I just picked up a piece of concrete, smashed across his face, but basically put his eye out. My dad's a good job. My dad's not a mean person. He's just like some son, and people tried to sue us. My dad said, fuck you. It's your son loosening my son's teeth, giving him black eyes. You're lucky I didn't come to your house, buddy. Who do you think you're fucking with? People that take your shit? You want to fight? You got one. Excuse me. Let's go out with Conan, then we'll come back with all the big news.
Let's go out with Conan.
Here it is.
Yeah. So I think that that clip may include a bit of a Rosetta Stone for Alex's brain. On a very basic level, we've never heard him say that his dad suggested using weapons against a bully, which is a bit upsetting to hear. It's a movie kind of moment where a parent tells their child to fight back against bullies. But it's a different thing for a parent to say, well, son, have you considered murder? This indicates a complete disinterest on Alex's dad's part toward getting involved in his son's life. Alex is basically on his own, except he's not. His dad still exists as a figure that'll deal out punishments, but only when they involve his own life. Consider how Alex told the story of his dad threatening to kick him out of the house because he was getting all those abortions, which his dad said was killing my grandkids. It's not killing your kids. It's killing my grandkids. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get mad when these people try to sue us. I'm not going to get involved otherwise.
Yeah.
I think the big tell moment here is him using his catchphrase against the globalists while he's in this reverie thinking about this bully from his childhood. You want to fight? You got one. It makes a bit too clear that his fight against the globalists and all this shit is just him replaying and trying to deal with the same feeling that he had when he was a kid being bullied. His dad refused to help him when he was growing up, so Alex tried to impress him by almost killing a supposed bully. And that didn't really work, so his life has been a larger scale attempt to impress his dad by killing the bigger supposed bullies Alex would always overhear his dad complaining about with his John Birch Society friends. This is kind of why Alex's beliefs and everything he's stood for has completely changed over the years, because there really isn't any principle behind any of it. He's just fighting against ghosts in a doom mission to get his dad to care, and it's not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah, like, you know how you shouldn't, if, now, hey, I'm not a parent, but I would suggest not treating your children as extensions of your own self.
Mm-hmm.
They are, in fact, distinct from you. And I think, in my experience, most children who have been treated like that have later on grown up to be very resentful towards that. It has never occurred to me that people might be like, Of course I'm an extension of my father. I am him and his father before him.
And then build up like a whole mythology around
it. Yeah,
yeah, it's unhealthy.
Yeah. To make that okay does require mythology, I guess.
Yeah. And look, I don't know what Alex's actual childhood was like. I don't know what his dad did or didn't do, but I know that these are things that he's expressing. And like he feels like his dad told him, get a rock, smash this bully.
Yep.
I'm not going to get involved in any way. I'm not going to talk to the parents of this kid. I'm not going to try and find some way to resolve this other than saying, hey, you want to kill him?
And let's not forget, this entire thing could also be his dad being like, you shouldn't be in a fist fight.
Mm-hmm.
See, what you did, what you should have said, is you shouldn't be in a fight, Dad. What you told me was to get a rock and kill the guy.
What Alex heard is, any weapons around?
Yeah, exactly.
How can you tilt the scales?
You cannot trust that he heard accurately what was being said to him.
No, but you can take away, at least in some ways, because Alex is communicating something.
Yeah.
And what he's communicating is a feeling that he had. And that feeling is essentially, you're on your own.
Yeah.
And that's dark.
While at the same time, you are an extension of me, and everything you do only matters in the context that I deem important.
Yeah.
Yep.
Your kids are my grandkids.
It, you know, sometimes it is like, there is a certain amount of like, if you're RFK Jr., you should be fucked up. Mm-hmm. Your whole fucking, if you were fine, that would throw into question all the rest of us surviving our childhood.
Sure.
Yeah.
The only difference is that Alex isn't like American royalty and come from like a Camelot.
No. But he's fucked up. Yeah.
Yep. Big time.
Oh, yeah.
So I was growing a little weary of this episode not covering anything and making me think about Alex's dad.
Are you saying that you weren't laser focused through the entire episode?
I was trying. He wasn't, that's for sure.
No.
But he kind of gets to a story.
Okay.
And it's that someone tweeted something about AOC.
Great.
So I guess that's as good as we're going to get.
Great.
Oh, the alarm bells and sirens are going off inside the globalist command bases everywhere. And in most cases, the Trump administration legally, lawfully, constitutionally has seized control. And with total commitment to their promises, are flooding the zone with all the crimes and corruption and theft of our enemies that suddenly want to wave American flags.
Look at that huge pile over there.
Just like enemy soldiers parachuting behind enemy lines, wearing the country they're invading's uniforms, camouflaging themselves as Americans when they are certified enemies of not just America, but of every human on the face of this planet.
Okay.
Their parasitic social Darwinian cult is the enemy of human life and progress, and I know that they have declared war on us in their covert operations for decades, and I accept the challenge.
Do you have a pamphlet on this?
You can feel it.
Okay.
You can see it. The spirit of humanity
you can
is
feel it.
Rising. Amazing. All right. Let's get started with some fun. But it's also very illustrative of our enemies' mindsets, which, when you see their confidence and you see the corporate media's glitz and glamour, and you believe that, well, maybe they're right, maybe two men can have a baby, maybe fentanyl isn't a problem, maybe World War III is a good thing, maybe drag queen story time isn't such a bad idea, maybe they are going to give us a utopia, maybe we should just do what they say, maybe communism works, maybe we should open our borders. Maybe white people are inherently evil and need to be gotten rid of. Maybe eating bugs is a good idea. I mean, it's not just a reasonable thing to not go along with it. I mean, they're reasonable guys. Let's do it. And when you're under the spell that I've never been under, thank God, but some people, many people have been under, and you come out of the spell, you come out of the trance, you come out of the mind control, you come out of the Stockholm syndrome, the learned helplessness, and you say, what the hell's going on here? And then you get our sweet little darling, the barista, the bartender. I think it's bartenders. I mean, there's a lot of smart ones, actually. But taken and put up by the establishment because she's such a mindless vessel that will execute things like a animatronic giggling robot. And she said a lot of hilarious stuff over the years. Remember, every time I mention, I want to find the video and play it again. She's like, and she puts on a fake, I guess, Hispanic accent. She's never talked that before. And she goes, we have these community gardens, and there's too much cauliflower grown there that the white people eat. We need other things grown, not the white people food. And what the hell does cauliflower have to do with white people? By the way, cauliflower is from Africa, but it's white.
Cauliflower was originally cultivated in the Mediterranean, and AOC never said it was racist. This was a right-wing media hysteria from 2019 about her posting a video about how the Green New Deal involved creating grow spaces where things that were relevant to local communities should be grown. Cauliflower was just an example that she used of a plant that wasn't used in much like Puerto Rican cooking, so for a Puerto Rican community, it wouldn't make sense to grow that, but yucca would. And she pronounced yucca, yucca, and then sure. Puerto Rico, and that's the accent that Alex is saying that she put on.
That's what he was trying to do?
Yeah, when she said, when she pronounced yucca and Puerto Rico, he's just very triggered by that, apparently.
I mean, sometimes it's nice to know that I was feeling like he was offending the wrong group of people. Mm-hmm. I was assuming that he had... There were tons of different possible groups of people whose accent he could have been trying to be offensive towards.
That's true.
I did not instinctively choose Puerto Rico.
So we're pretty far into this episode now, and I don't think that Alex has lived up to this focused and on the ball thing.
Doesn't feel like it.
This is like kind of the first news, I put in quotes, that he's getting to, and it involves making fun of AOC for something she didn't say. And I don't even know what the new thing is. Like, he's just talking about something from 6 years ago.
Yeah.
That he and all of his buddies made a fake version of in the information war.
Yeah.
And now he's laughing about now.
Yeah. Crushing it.
So do you know what AOC said?
I don't. Do you know what? So when we were, Chicago, I take the public transport often.
Mm-hmm.
Which means that over the years, I have occasionally walked in on multiple unhoused people
sure.
having a time with their own bodies.
Talking about a little...
Not great. Not what you want to see.
No.
I felt like exactly that when right before Alex goes, okay, let's get started. Like, that little bit was just for him, and it did not make me feel comfortable.
Well, I think that would be like walking in right after the person had finished.
With a self-satisfied smile on their face. That's not what I wanted to see, sir.
The, ooh, let's get down to business is more like the refractory. So you don't know what AOC said?
Huh. What'd she say in 2019?
No, this is new.
Oh, this is new.
Yeah.
Okay.
In 2019, she said that a community garden should cater to the local communities.
To yucca. Yeah.
But no, now she said Elon Musk isn't smart.
Ooh.
And then you get AOC. In one of her latest fabulous comedy, saying, quote, Elon Musk is one of the most unintelligent billionaires I've ever met or seen. And the poster said, who's going to tell her? I said, in response to reposting it on X, at Real Alex Jones, the globalists would hate it if you followed me and shared the videos and articles. That might hurt the globalists a little more. Don't do that. Please.
Is that Patton?
Elon Musk is the most intelligent person on the planet when it comes to wide spectrum knowledge and force of will. AOC is one of the most unself-aware people on Earth, but also one of the greatest unintentional comics in history.
So AOC put out a video where she said that Elon Musk wasn't very smart.
Yeah.
And so Alex has tweeted back about this, and now he's covering how he tweeted back at AOC about how Elon is smart.
Yeah.
This is shit.
Yeah, this is like when I walked into a train car and saw another unhoused guy helping out another friend.
Is this show just about Elon being smart now?
I don't know why we're doing this.
I don't either.
What is it about this man that people cannot cross the line of being like, oh, he's an idiot?
I don't know. I can't understand it because I've never got it. Like, I've never really looked at him and thought, like, ah, here is a great, wise person, even when he wasn't such a toxic fucking presence as he's become over the last few years.
Right.
Even when he was just a really rich guy who was, I don't know, I want to dig holes under cities and play with flamethrowers.
I remember that.
Even back then, I didn't think that he was that great.
No.
So I don't see what the allure is that you can't shake off. But Alex is in deep. He's in it. This is bad.
This is not good.
No. And it gets to a point where he is so offended that AOC would suggest that Musk isn't smart, that he has to get into the complexities of intelligence. He has to start.
Don't do that.
Oh, no. This is a.
No, don't do that.
This is very smart stuff.
Strong recommendation against it.
The average libtard is taught
good
one
start.
Spectrum analysis, not even third dimensional understanding or first level responses or issues. They're certainly not taught second level consequences or third level or fourth level, or they tell you there's not even a third or fourth level if they studied it, because they're designed and brainwashed and put in a position of being automatomics or automatons.
I'm sorry?
Metropolis style biological androids, regurgitators. Puppets that parrot what they're told. So they will say, oh, Jones is an academic. He just said Elon is intelligent on the force of will scale. They don't even know that real intelligence is not quantified by a simple IQ test. That is only one approximation.
Do people not know this?
The spectrum of the educational system's labels. But he does have a very high IQ on that scale or that gauge. Real intelligence is having a conscience, having innate programming God gave you to have a conscience. That is
sounds true.
One of the most important forms of intelligence. Then there's the intelligence to be able to appreciate beauty. Then there is musical intelligence, mathematical intelligence, aesthetic intelligence.
Wait, why is then there musical
intelligence? Physical intelligence, which a high-capacity, fast-moving brain, it's physical, but it's also the body's physical intelligence. The cells, your immune systems, you have a great immune system. It has a high intelligence and high energy electrochemical operation. And so I've told you 1,000 times 1,000, the most powerful people have wide spectrum intelligence, and then they apply it to real world events.
So Alex loves to go into these kinds of blowhard abstract ideas about how your immune system is a sign of intelligence when he needs to defend how smart some dipshit he likes is. But he's also the same person who supports the ideas of books like The Bell Curve. He believes that there's a meaningful connection between race and IQ and has used low IQ scores as a reason why some cultures are inferior to others. If you pay attention, it's really easy to see the trends in who gets to enjoy the benefits of having broad spectrum intelligence and who's judged by their imagined low IQ. It's mostly if Alex thinks that you're white and if you support white supremacy.
It helps. It helps to, because you got a leg up, because it was made for you. Mm. That also helps.
Well, like the people that Alex yells about, like these are low IQ populations and stuff. He doesn't give the benefit of like musical intelligence or their immune systems or whatever. This is bullshit blowhard nonsense that he's using just to be like Elon Musk is superior.
What I like about IQ is that, ironically, it has been one of the easiest ways for me to sift out who I deem smart or not smart. How much you talk about it.
Right. What
the
context,
more you talk about it, nah, I know.
What context do you understand that measurement to be in? That's a good...
Oh, he's got a high IQ. Do not care.
Yeah. Yeah. But I do think that there is something telling about this. It's super complex and all of this shit when it needs to be, and it is not when he needs to malign and demonize other groups of people.
Yeah.
So cool. Enjoy that.
It's always, and it's an excuse for my guy who's, it is such cult leader shit.
Yep.
It is such like, my God could beat up your God.
And I'm offended that Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez would dare.
How dare you speak ill of Supreme Leader.
Right. Yeah. She should just submit.
Oh, boy.
And then, best-selling electric cars. Super innovation. Launched more satellites than everybody else in all of history combined in just a few years. And they work great.
Did he launch them?
And they get better and better all the time. First put them in a few years ago, worked okay out in the country, got what I needed done. About a year later, this is really fast now. Now it's like, God almighty, this is badass. Game changer. And it goes on and on and on. And we're supposed to recognize brilliance. We're supposed to get behind it when it's behind us. But no. She doesn't go, maybe I should work for this team. She's so stupid. Because if she was smart and evil, she'd roll over. But no. Because she's dumb. Dumber than a box of hammers. The only intelligence she has is a little bit of charisma. That's it.
What?
That's all. And not ugly, but she's so stupid, she's really ugly to me. I'm super gorgeous women.
What the fuck
and then I found
do you need to do?
It's like, you are gross, lady. You can have a woman that's not classically physically attractive, but smart. I'm just like, wow, talk about sexy. That brain. All right, let's hear from this sad creature. Here it is.
This dude is probably one of the most unintelligent billionaires I have ever met or seen or witnessed. you can probably even glean that from watching these people on TV.
I would describe this as laser focused.
Yep.
I don't know, man. I think that the fucking Alex Jones, Prison Planet kind of guy. The guy who's like standing up, telling truth to power. I really don't think that meshes well with the, hey, we're supposed to recognize geniuses and then submit to them. Do you understand that?
If you were smart and evil, you'd roll over.
Right. I'm smart and good because I've rolled over.
Yeah. What? Oh. Okay.
Huh.
So wait, if you're smart and evil, you'd roll over. Does that...
Oh, I guess that does kind of imply that Alex could be smart and evil. But he could be smart and good, too. But either way, the mark of smartness is submitting to Elon Musk.
Yeah.
This is dark.
I'm a big fan of requiring as many paragraphs as possible to say, she does make my dick tingle, but I still disagree with her politically.
Right.
You know, like, you can just say those two sentences. That's one sentence.
She looks good, but I don't like them ideas.
I think she's hot. I don't think she's a qualified politician, probably because of the first one. Very uncomplicated.
And then he does that thing where he's just tapping on the desk.
Yeah, like in shame for him. But I don't think she's actually attractive because thinking things makes her stupid.
Laser focused.
Wow.
So at this point, Musk is primarily trying to target the USAID, the USAID department. And so Alex talks about that, and I'm like, meat. Here we go.
All right.
We'll get to some substance.
Mm-hmm.
Nope. We just get to a British voice.
Great.
When you see the desperate leftist surrounding, they're still there today, the recaptured federal agency, USAID, they're scared. And not because totalitarianism is coming for them, but because their oppressive, tyrannical, hyper-totalitarian boot is being removed millisecond by millisecond from our collective necks. And all the corporate media and all their dirty tricks and all their little cards up their filthy little sleeves aren't just having no effect. They are enraging and empowering with moral will. Those of us who have labored as winter soldiers and paid high prices in the trenches of the information war. We were becoming stronger under the pressure, while they decadently preening themselves on high, surveyed us as mere mortals to be poisoned, dumbed down, abused, robbed, and then finally killed.
Is that his Puerto Rican accent?
And yes, they were successful in hurting and killing many people. But in the end, it only accelerated their final fall and destruction. Do I sound more intellectual to the self-appointed liberals now? Would you like me to affect elitism for you? Would you like me to?
Yikes. That was nothing.
That was the opening scene to Patton.
That was nothing.
Yeah, that was a big empty waste of everybody's life.
Shit about what's happening with USAID.
Nope.
There is nothing being communicated there except for Alex has a chip on his shoulder about people with British accents.
I don't know what else to say other than yes.
I've never heard anybody who talks even close to that. And I don't have any relationship with giving more credibility to media because Simmons sounds elitish.
Sure, sure.
Or anything.
Yeah.
I don't know what this connects to other than Alex feeling like the way he talks was never respected. Like, he would talk like a wild Texan or whatever, and that, like, he didn't get a shot at the table.
Yeah. I wonder if it's just something that, like, because there was that stretch, and I mean, it's still a trope now, but there was that stretch where every villain had to be an effete British guy.
Sure.
You know?
And I think that Alex probably came up in a period where that was probably more of a...
I think maybe he's just internalized that as being a thing that we all believe, mm-hmm. is that villains have an effete British accent.
Yeah.
As opposed to that was a trend for a while.
Yeah, or that, like, you know, Klaus Schwab speaks with an accent.
Yeah.
And I think that Alex thinks that that gives him more credibility to people, as opposed to that's just how he speaks.
Yeah.
You know, like, I think that...
I mean...
And I think part of that is because Alex's voice is fake.
Yeah.
And I think that is a piece of... This is a bit of performance.
Yeah. I think there is a difference, and Alex doesn't understand it. There is a difference between having a British accent because that's how you learned how to speak English,
mm-hmm.
and having a different accent because that's English is your second language,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think he understands that concept at all.
No. No, why would he? It's an elitist concept to imagine you could speak two languages.
I think that is kind of, yeah.
Bunch of bullshit. Anyway, that was mostly noises. And,
yes. So in a way, he does speak two languages.
Yes. Grunting and...
Grunting and yeah, that's about right.
And words.
And word.
An approximation of words.
Yeah.
So Bill Gates... He's back on. He's out of control.
Back on his bullshit.
Totally.
Oh, man.
Bill Gates has reared his desperate, ugly head, always trying to act like he's nonpartisan, but behind the scenes attacking any patriot. He's the field marshal of the death cult's depopulation plan. And he has come out and attacked Musk, calling him a criminal. He has said, oh, and don't worry, a new pandemic will kill a bunch of you. You don't do what I say. So now he's like, I've got other bioweapons.
Is that what he said?
So they're scared. And as Dr. David Martin said yesterday, they got 60-plus known bioweapons on the shelf that Gates has got. Bill Gates is a clear and present danger to civilization and every life on the face of this earth, including his own. Bill Gates worried about Trump Musk exposing U.S. aid. Waste of corruption claims new pandemic will cause millions of deaths. What did Hotez say? Oh, we'll block Trump's agenda. When a new pandemic comes crashing down on him, he started laughing. We'll stop him. Oh, my boss, Bill Gates, will. We sure. got something ready for you.
Just more great impression work. So Hotez didn't say that, and obviously Gates was commenting on how indiscriminate cuts to USAID grants and projects would make it more difficult to respond in the context of a future pandemic. But Alex doesn't deal in accuracy, so I don't really care to squabble about the details and the lies here. I just don't understand how Alex can't just get up and call for Bill Gates' death.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's a danger to humanity and himself. He's planning a bioweapon release. If you believed any piece of this, you couldn't risk him living another day. It's not just that Bill Gates' preferred policies won't lead to the kinds of outcomes that Alex wants and that people will be hurt in the process. It's that Gates has a supervillain plan to kill off most of the population. I'm just sick of these games. Alex is supposed to be fighting the devil, and he's acting like a con man trying to protect his own ass. Like, just call for his blood or whatever.
Yeah, no,
isn't that what you're supposed to be doing?
I mean, regardless of whether or not you believe he's good or evil, he's a private entity, an individual with 60 known extinction event causers on his shelves.
If you believe any of this shit.
It doesn't matter if he's going to use them or not. You cannot allow him to live. He's too dangerous simply by existing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let me ask you a question, all right? So he's got 60 murder things on the shelf. What do you see? Do you think they're behind a bookshelf? Do you think he's got the spin around bookshelf and then it's all white and there's like maybe some smoke, you know, some steam or something from it being kept cold? And then there are little beakers?
Sort of.
Okay.
But actually my... I don't know all the right words.
Okay. Okay.
But my mind went a little more mid-century modern.
Okay.
Maybe a little Jetsons-y.
Okay.
Like you press a button and a bar comes out of the wall.
All right. Like I'm liking that. Around. Yeah. I like that.
And then it's like a fake bar. And instead of liquor, you have the...
You've got all of them lined up.
That's kind
of
how I imagined
it. I like that. That's good.
You went to the bookshelf, I imagine.
I had, so you go with the bookshelf, it spins around, right? And then I've got little, like, fancy spinning beaker kind of designs for, you know, because if you're going to have a world-destroying virus, you put it in a nice little beaker, right?
Yeah, but it's got to be sealed.
Sure, it's sealed. But, you know, there's a couple of little spirals in one of them.
Yeah, a swirly straw.
Yeah, a little swirly straw, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. However he maintains it, I just can't deal with Alex pretending to believe this shit and not be like, got to take him out.
Insane.
It's nuts.
I question a man who doesn't stop at like maybe 10.
Right.
You know?
It's too many options for world-destroying pandemics.
One is too many to have because we'll all die.
Yeah.
Two, crazy. 10, absurd. 60? What? That's an addiction.
Yeah, these aren't Pokemon.
No, what are you doing?
You don't need to collect them all.
Why are you making them and then putting them on your shelf? You got 10.
Yeah.
Yeah, crazy.
It's kind of like a villain in a movie.
It's almost exactly like a villain in a movie. Like an over-the-top villain in a movie.
Yeah, it's strange.
Like the Avengers.
So Alex quotes Shakespeare.
Sure.
And then gets mad about imaginary people on Twitter getting mad about him quoting Shakespeare.
That sounds right.
Because he's not Christian enough.
That'll happen.
The whole world is a battlefield, and each of us warriors upon it. That's an Alex Jones quote. Written off of William Shakespeare. I quoted last week, just in case. My mother, when I was little, 5, 6, 7, would read to me to these big volumes where they are. We have to find those. They have huge storage facilities full of books. They could never throw them away, but they just, you see them come and go. Big, huge, thick sets of William Shakespeare plays. And she would just, at breakfast sometimes, hey, let's just read a few passages from this.
Page 1, A White Man's Burden.
One time over, you know, a few months, off and on, she read to me all of William Shakespeare's Julius Caesar. And so there's a quote out of that, which is based on history and but somewhat fiction, but
somewhat.
William Shakespeare said, "There is a tide in the affairs of men when taken at the flood leads on to fortune." And I said, some people want money or power or whatever, but I said, my real fortune I want is freedom and competition and a vibrant new renaissance. And I went and looked at the comments, because I love comments, and I saw quite a few people saying, I thought you were a Christian. What does that mean, being excited about human activity and innovation in the Renaissance? That's God gave us that. Or quoting William Shakespeare. But it's strange, too, kind of the old guard, fake conservatives that sat here and hid in their churches while all this evil went on, and then they just run around like Pharisees or Sadducees, you know, praying in public and telling you how holy they are. And then the strangest things, go grab that from X last week. I think it was Friday. I'm in my car. I'm wearing a red shirt. I'm driving. I just felt like saying it. There is a tide in the affairs of men when taken at the flood leads on to fortune. And it's weird psychology. Like, you thought I was a Christian. Well, not your type of Christian, I'll assure you. No, not the people that sit around and tell people about the speck in their eye when they got a beam in theirs. You just stay in there. Where you're at, we'll do the heavy lifting from here. I don't even know why I'm bringing that. It's just weird. The weird things that'll trigger the fake Christians.
Yeah, that is weird.
That is weird.
Yeah.
Agreed.
This show is stupid.
Very dumb.
Alex thinks of a quote that he's attributing to himself,
yep,
that is a rip on a Shakespeare line.
Yep.
And he remembers his mom reading him Shakespeare when he was a kid. And he remembers that a couple of days ago he tweeted something that was from Shakespeare.
Right.
And then people said that he wasn't a Christian.
Yep.
And he got into a Twitter fight with people about this. And it's still bothering him.
Mm-hmm.
What? Why? Who cares?
I think we've all grown up wanting to live lives of consequence. And Alex, what can you say but that will change the world?
Yeah.
You know?
This little Twitter back and forth that you had about whether or not it's Christian to quote Shakespeare.
What are we doing? What are we doing?
I do think that there's some incredible truth to Alex's, you thought I'm a Christian? Not like you.
Yes, I agree.
I think that is
explore that.
Yeah.
Dig into that, Alex. Really get in there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't like the soft things about your Christianity.
I don't like that whole Jesus figure y'all won't shut up about.
No, that guy is soy.
Real piece of shit.
Yeah. Cuck. So Bill Gates was on The View, and that's really what started all this. He was on The
Bill
View.
Bill Gates was on The View.
Yeah. So AOC put out a video that said that Musk wasn't smart and Bill Gates was on The View. And Alex had a Twitter interaction, laser focus.
Very important stuff.
So here's a little of Alex on that.
Okay.
He thinks running to The View so that a bunch of women, they don't have much of an audience anymore, but there's still, you know, it's a pocket of them. So a few million women that watch it.
That's a ton of people.
Stockholm Syndrome.
They're women, though.
Like Bill, what's that going to do, Bill? It's all coming out how you financed the bio attack, you murderer. Hell, we exposed it 5 years ago, but now it's everywhere. Oh, you thought you'd hit us with the attack and then you'd get away with it. You thought, okay, well, they'll forget about it. No, we're not forgetting, son. I got family members that were super smart. Smartest people I ever knew. Who aren't smart anymore. And who are real sick that you almost killed. And you killed some of my friends. So I'm not ever going to forget about it. Understand? Because I get to see the wreckage of what you did every day. Not just to me, but everybody else. And all the kids dying of damn heart attacks. It's all admitted because of you. You just murder us at will. You can't just murder us at will. And I think you know where this is going. I'll get to him in a minute. Here's Senator Kennedy.
To my friends who are upset, I would say with respect, you know, call somebody who cares. Yeah, they better get used to this. It's USAID today. It's going to be Department of Education tomorrow.
And it is. They've announced today, new executive order incoming. Oh, while you're worried about your USAID little money laundering operation, we're about to take down the big one. And then while you're busy fighting that, we'll hit 10 more. And then 10 more. And then the prosecutions. It's what a route looks like. It's what's being vanquished looks like. You can smell it. All those cowards burning up metaphysically right now.
Alex is a coward on a level that you can't really put into words. Just put a bounty on Gates's head already. Well, like, what are you doing tiptoeing around this bullshit? What Alex is saying about how Trump's administration is dealing with governing is right on, though. The only way they'll ever be able to get anything done is by causing gigantic messes that need to be dealt with in the courts. While the courts hear these cases, they move on to causing another giant mess that will need to be dealt with in the courts later. As the process goes along, they cause unfixable damage and force out tons of workers who would be needed to keep the government processes functioning as normal. Inevitably, this will cause severe problems, which will then be blamed on some vague deep state actors. For a perfect example, the cuts in public health funding will result in greater infectious disease exposure and probably a lot more death from preventable conditions, maybe even another serious pandemic. Instead of accepting that this is partially due to the attack on public health funding, it'll be contextualized as a bioweapon attack by someone like Bill Gates, who was mad because they cut the public health funding and he lost all his money. They cause the damage and then use storytelling to shift the responsibility for the consequences of their actions. This is a functional model now. Right-wing media saturation is to a point where Tucker Carlson can pretend he was attacked by a demon in the middle of the night and he still has a career. These figures can shift blame and control the narrative for a significant amount of the population, but in order for this to work, the people in power have to keep causing that damage in the first place. I suspect that Alex understands this, that his side would never be able to calmly convince any group of rational people to go along with their plans. The only way he'd ever be able to see the world that he wants come into being is by brute force and pressing the attack while the other side struggles to keep up the infrastructure of democracy. It's so much easier to just wrecking ball destroy shit than it is to fix or build, and Alex knows that, and that's what he's cheering on. He's cheering on just wholesale demolition.
Yep.
Because I think he knows he's not going to be hurt.
No. I don't know why he's not even... Why hold back?
Right. At this point...
Yeah.
The entire power structure is going to defend you.
Yeah. Can you even imagine somebody being... Yeah. Nobody's even going to be mad.
No. Like, if he literally called for the death of Bill Gates, put money on his head... He'd be pardoned.
I mean,
like, right?
And not just that, but like in the world we're living in, like people are still making like Go Luigi memes all over the place. So like, I think you're fine.
Yeah.
Go whole hog. Smoke them if you got them, buddy.
It seems like that may be the case.
Yeah.
And I think Alex is just used to the game that he plays, though.
It is. He's not for this time.
No. No.
No. It is ironic. He's said often, again, we're talking to the djinn wishes.
Mm-hmm.
I wish to be made obsolete. Well, not right now.
Right.
Yeah.
I need a few more bars of gold before I'm obsolete.
I wanted to be obsolete when I was dead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Alex screams a little bit about Bill Gates because he was on The View. Ugh. Who would go on The View?
Who would go on The View?
Well, Alex did when Charlie Sheen had a meltdown and they invited him.
Who wouldn't go on The View?
Right, fair enough.
Now let's talk about one of our main enemies. Bill Gates. Articles up on Infowars.com. I suggest you share it. He makes a threat.
Oh, new virus. If we don't do what I say, it'll be his fault.
He already told us. I'm in charge since Fauci's so unpopular. Even the news said he's the new Fauci. Fauci's my mentor for 40 years. He tells me what to do, Hotez said. And there'll be a new virus if it crashes and stop Trump.
It's like, literally, it looks like Renfield in a Dracula movie.
Is that his Puerto Rican accent?
And here's Bill Gates and Borla and Tedros, the UN. Oh, the new pandemic will stop Trump. Okay, well, we all know you're going to do it. I mean, you think you got in trouble last time. Don't do it, Gates. Don't do it. Stop it.
Stop it.
I don't think he will stop, though. See, some of them aren't going to give up, and that's okay.
Is it?
I don't know how good Bill Gates is going to be doing soon. I just have a thought. That Bill Gates is probably under a lot of surveillance right now. And somebody like him, I don't think he'll be, I don't think he's going to be much more of a problem very soon.
Seems like if Gates is under surveillance by the government, then it'd be pretty hard for him to launch another pandemic. So I guess if I'm supposed to believe anything Alex says is real, then that threat is neutralized. There's no reason to believe that Bill Gates is even capable of doing anything if he's completely under surveillance and Trump is going to get him. So that's the thing, right? He's a threat or he's not. And Alex seems to want both. If he's under super Trump surveillance, then there's nothing to worry about, which satisfies what the audience wants to think about Trump, but it also leaves them with nothing to be scared about. If Trump truly has this under surveillance, then you can't really use Gates as a scapegoat for the next possible health crisis without saying that Trump knowingly allowed it to happen. I guess that's not probably that big of a problem, though, since Trump did Operation Warp Speed and was president during most of the pandemic lockdowns. His fans have been able to rationalize that pretty well, so I don't think it's a problem, but you see these internal inconsistencies. And that's what happens when Alex just... kind of flies by the seat of his pants.
Yeah. Yeah, it does feel like at a certain point we reached a level where he could just be like, you'll get over it. You know, like, that doesn't make sense. Yeah, but you'll get over it. Yeah. And then we just move on. And everybody's like, I guess I will get over it.
Yeah. But, hey, you guys struggling with that Ebola in Denver still?
You'll get over it.
You'll get over it.
Okay, I guess we will.
Yeah.
So why spend all this time struggling? Mm-hmm. Let's just get over it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
So Alex had he said that there was going to be an AI expert who's going to help break down all this government fraud, right?
Oh, is this our health ranger?
No.
Oh, we've got a different AI expert who's not an expert in AI.
This actually kind of is a great classic type of InfoWars guest, which is someone you've never heard of with a shady past.
So I'm going to try to give him the floor here, but his work on election fraud has been very instrumental, but in stopping a lot of it and mitigating it and creating a blueprint for Trump's investigators to go in and block a lot of it. But that now is being eclipsed by his work on the fraud in the NGOs and up the chain to the State Department and the rest of it. So, Peter Bernegger, thank you so much for coming on with us today. This is a complex but critical issue central to retaking our republic. How should we start with the audience who is smart, but still this gets into rocket science level stuff? How do you quantify what's going on and then start drilling into it?
Well, first, thank you, Alex, for having me on. And it's not just me. There's a team of us across the
United States that have been volunteering our time. And
so Peter Berniger is not an AI expert who tracked down election fraud and now is uncovering the truth about government waste.
Really surprised by that.
He's a dipshit conspiracy theorist who's wasted countless hours of people's lives with harassment about the 2020 election, to the point where he's been warned by the Wisconsin police that his actions could be seen as stalking, and he was charged with a felony for illegally modifying a subpoena.
Sure.
That's a case of him committing fraud in order to make it easier for him to achieve his goals, in this case making a big show out of fake election theft information. Probably unsurprisingly, Peter was convicted for felony mail and bank fraud charges in 2009 in Mississippi. He and his associate, they'd started a company called WeGel that claimed that they could make gelatin out of catfish waste product, but he was full of shit about being able to do that.
Yeah, that sounds right.
All a lie.
That sounds like a huge lie. I like that lie, but yeah, that's a bad one.
Despite his inability to do the thing he claimed he could, Peter defrauded investors out of millions of dollars.
How?
One of my favorite things about this case, I read the court filing of the appeal. He appealed his conviction, and part of it was affirmed, but it did. The only thing that was really affirmed was, like, I shouldn't have to pay back that much, and they were like, yeah, some of this maybe isn't illegal.
Fair.
So he, instead of having to pay like a little north of $2 million back, he had to pay like 1.4 or something like that.
That's a good, that's a 25% reduction. That's good negotiating.
It's
that's not, bad.
It's not bad.
That's not bad.
But if you read the court filing, this is really funny.
Okay.
Quote, David Cooper, an investor who also worked as a chemist for Finch and Berniger, testified that he asked Berniger why he did not tell the investors the truth in these letters, to which Berniger replied, quote, they can't handle the truth.
That, I mean, I think that is, I think that's probably accurate.
That's
I bet they couldn't have handled the truth.
Yeah, because it's a scam.
Because it's defrauding a scam. Yeah. I'm scamming you is not a truth most people like to handle.
No. No.
In a sense, they can handle it.
They can handle it, but they can't. They won't respond the way you need them to handle
right.
it.
Right. Right, 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 right.
So he was sentenced to having to pay back a large amount of money and 70 months in jail. Anyway, Berniger is the grandchild of the founders of Hillshire Farms, so he can probably afford to do this kind
Why
of
not?
Dumb bullshit.
Why not? Why not? That's all I have to say about that. Why wouldn't it be the grandson of those people?
The Hillshire Farms people.
Jesus Christ.
Deli Meats.
What are we doing?
So he's a career scammer who's found the perfect community to insulate himself into, where he'll be treated like a hero and an expert, so good for him.
Yeah.
Con men...
he found his people.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, for sure.
There is...
And being presented this way on Alex's show is like, this is where it all runs downstream.
Yeah.
It all... You can get a revamp image... If you want to try.
Totally.
Social media and InfoWars will help you.
No, I was just thinking, it's fun that you stream, because I was just thinking, like, this is, occasionally we will turn this show into a documentary, a wildlife documentary, and it's like, oh, this is how the con men swim upstream to get to their breeding grounds. Of course they make this journey to InfoWars in order to lay the fucking eggs necessary to move on for the next fucking, yeah, it's crazy.
Well, it's almost, it's more like parasitism.
Sure. Well, there's definitely that.
Well, because like Alex will unquestioningly give you a place where you can prey on the audience that he has.
Yeah.
And that's very useful for people like this.
Yeah, there's a species of wasp now that opens out its victims and lets other wasps in.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
for a price.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. You give me a little extra caterpillar every now and again, you can sleep in this guy.
Yeah.
Great.
So anyway, I feel like this guy's a piece of shit.
Sure.
But I also was like, I don't want to shoot the messenger. You know? Let's see what he's saying.
Depends on the message.
Well, yeah, let's get a little sampling of the information that he's bringing.
USAID is funding the BBC. It came out this morning. They are funding the piggy bank. They're larger than the CIA by a multiple.
By the way, stop the presses. We're going to have you on for 10 hours soon. We'll do a two-hour commercial free. I didn't even know that yet, but that goes to figure. The government funded. They have to pay a license to have a TV in the UK. Almost no one watches it. It's literally run by pedophiles. It's come out. And they are getting taxpayer money for the American people. Wow, so Americans are paying a BBC tax as well. Holy Toledo.
And they're paying, and the USAID and through NGOs is paying Reuters. Reuters to London to do hit pieces on conservatives across the United States.
Yeah, $300 million to target Musk, which, again, that's really MI6. Incredible.
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 So we've seen so much of Alex just, like, pointing at the big pile, yeah. You know? And so here we have some specifics with his fraud guest guy.
Sure.
And this is the kind of level you would expect from a fraud guy.
Yeah.
So USAID wasn't funding the BBC. They were contributing to a charity, BBC Media Action, which is an international development organization aimed at sponsoring independent media in other countries. Mm. The BBC itself, like the news entity, is entirely separate from the Media Action charity. This is a very important distinction that just doesn't matter to these folks, because they're not making a sincere argument. The USAID funding that they're discussing, like all the stuff that Musk is posting on Twitter, all mm-hmm. this stuff, it's a fishing expedition where they're just going to go and pick and choose things that seem to work for their arguments, which is what you see here.
Mm-hmm.
As for Reuters, the DOD had a contract with them for approximately $9 million that was meant to help create defense in the realm of cybersecurity. The contract was started in 2018 when Trump was president and ended in 2022 when Biden was president.
Ooh.
And now Trump is back in office and he was posting on social media about how Reuters should pay the money back.
There you go.
This is stupid shit, but it's also an issue where this contract was with Thomson Reuters Special Services, which is a separate branch of the parent company from the news entity. They're different things. Also, this is a thing that was through the DOD, and USAID is an independent agency but exists around the State Department. This is just grasping at straws.
Yeah.
This is what happens when you take a closer look at the big pile that Alex will just gesture at. Because he wants you to see a pile, not anything that's in the pile.
No.
Because it's all shit.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I bet he didn't think that altering a subpoena was a crime.
Probably not.
I bet he was. I bet he's got a fucking Photoshop thing.
Yeah.
Or he did a cut and paste thing. I bet $1 million he's like, wait, that's a crime?
No, I think what happened, if I understand correctly, was that he had a subpoena that he appropriately got through a judge.
Right.
And then he added stuff to it after the judge had signed off on it.
Amazing.
Right.
Amazing.
Which is like, oh, I probably couldn't get the subpoena if I had all this stuff written
on it.
That's
how it works.
Right.
That's why we have the whole process.
Exactly.
If you could do that, then you could have just written it down by yourself.
Yeah.
You didn't need a judge.
I love this kind of fraud because it's exactly the same behavior as the catfish waste. Yep. I couldn't get this investment if I told them I didn't know how to do the thing that I'm doing.
Yeah.
I have to lie in order to get the investment.
Yeah. What don't you understand about the lie?
Can't handle the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. I do appreciate.
The judge couldn't handle the truth.
Like, but you know, there's so much of just like, I didn't get into fraud because I wanted to work hard. You mm-hmm. know, mm-hmm. like I could have worked hard at anything.
Yeah.
I got into fraud because it's easy, man.
No, and I get it. And I tip my hat.
Of course.
You know, that's why I say, like, he's found his people.
Right.
And, like, this
right.
is where you belong on InfoWars. Good for you.
Absolutely.
But, like, the thing that I resent is, like, acting like you're not a fraud person.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Trying to pretend like this is just straight up good shit. That's where it's, like, all right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to play. I'm not playing.
This is America. We kind of incomprehensibly like our con men for some reason.
Yeah.
We're just America. Just give us a little twinkle in the eye and we'll all move on.
It's a national failing that we have.
Yeah.
But I also think that what I'm trying to put my finger on
mm-hmm.
is I obviously don't think that you should be able to run scams like this.
Obviously. It's not complicated.
But I'm also not like, I can't stop bullshit.
Sure.
You know, like it's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
But I'm also not going to be cowed into a world where I respect.
Yeah,
those
that's
scams.
Not. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's the line.
Right.
I will laugh about his catfish waste.
Right, 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 right.
But I will not call him a businessman.
Right, right. It's like
anyway.
Pacino and De Niro in Heat. You guys are sitting across the table from each other. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to respect you, but I know that you're a criminal.
You know, that was the first time that they were ever in a movie together.
Is that true?
I think. I don't know. I remember that from an ad.
Nice.
Yeah. When Heat came out.
From an ad for another movie?
No, when Heat came out.
Oh, okay.
It made a big deal out of Pacino and De Niro. First time on screen together.
I guess that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Is that cool?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, sure. I mean, they're big.
No, I mean, I get that, but, you know, It feels weird to be like, ooh, I get to see those two guys pretend at each other.
Mm-hmm.
That's very strange. We're a weird people.
It sure is.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's about all I got.
He seems like a great guy.
Berniger?
Yeah.
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 Cool.
I mean, you can trust his family.
Mm-hmm. Hillshire Farms.
They have the meats, too.
No.
Is that they? No, they have. We also have the meats.
At a time, they had some of the meats. Now, Arby's has taken all of the meats.
There was a hostile conquest. Arby's took all of the meats.
Yep.
What a headline that would be.
So we'll see if that's something that's covered on the next episode. But this was not laser focused.
Was that what it was trying to be?
Yeah, we did say laser.
We did say laser. It's a very different laser.
Anyway, Alex sucks. This is trash.
Yeah.
And we'll see if it gets better. But until we are back, we have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yep. We're back. But until then, I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I am the Mysterious Professor.
Woo, yeah, woo, yeah, woo.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.